Good afternoon. It's 75 degrees in Richland Center at 1207. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Richland Center City Council will be meeting tonight and possibly taking action on additional permanent and temporary housing for individuals. Tonight's agenda includes a Storyfield pre-development agreement and a Cobblestone Hotels incentive package. Mayor Todd Coppernall.
The City Council had heard from two different hotel chains that express interest in building here in the city after a hotel feasibility study was commissioned by the city and a recommendation came back to put up a 54-room hotel in Richland Center. And so two groups had responded to a request for proposal. Cobblestone was one, Grand Stay was the other one, and the council and myself, we heard live presentations from both groups, in fact, multiple times, and a lot of phone conversations with both, and they both made a formal presentation. Several older persons visited a hotel from each chain. I spent a night in a Cobblestone. Several people went to Grand Stay, and the council then had a choice and voted to pursue Cobblestone and then directed the city administrator and economic development director to attempt to negotiate with Cobblestone to reach an agreement on where they would build, what land would be used, et cetera, and down the list of everything it will take. And they've done that, and the council will hear that and will be given the opportunity, should they choose to make a decision at that time on whether or not the city will pursue the construction of a new Cobblestone hotel in downtown Richland Center.
The mayor invites you to take a look at what is proposed for Richland Center on Orange Street to house overnight visitors.
If you want to see an example of what Cobblestone builds, just Google Cobblestone. And this would be the Main Street, because they have multiple designs, layouts. The Main Street design is what they're proposing for Richland Center. So take a look there. But as you drive up Orange Street, so if you were coming into town, let's say from WRCO, and so now we're northbound on Orange Street, right as you cross Seminary and go past the Quick Trip on your right, they'll have the Phoenix Center with its banquet hall will be there on your left. And this proposed site is right there to the north on the east side. So right next to Quick Trip. If you drive past Quick Trip headed toward the park, this would be on that next lot right there. Sort of the corner, I guess, would be Court and Orange. It won't fill the whole block, but obviously the majority of it. And again, the proposed hotel is a 54-room design right in the downtown, which as we continue to look to the future, you can see a lot of positives that have already happened on Orange Street, especially if you're my age or older and you remember what Orange Street once looked like. And you already see AutoZone, Phoenix Center, Our House, Dialysis Center Pharmacy, Quick Trip, TechCom building with the credit union, and with Wacker Chiropractic. We got the Robin's Nest down there, going down the list of businesses that have built and located down there. Well, there's obviously some more work that can be done and some more development possibilities. And the city owns this land that is next to the Quick Trip, and the council has decided that the use, a great use of it, would be to put a brand new hotel down there.
Another project for permanent housing is back on the agenda after being discussed months ago to secure a viable housing developer for a building project on Story Field. The council will take action tonight on a proposal from developer Doug Enke to construct a 7-duplex zero-step housing project on the property. The Richland Center City Council will meet tonight at 6:30 in the council room at the Richland Center Municipal Building. 9 more cases of measles are confirmed in a northeast Wisconsin county. The website for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services says the new measles diagnosis, all in Oconto County, brings the total number of cases to 23 as of Friday. Oconto is the only county in Wisconsin to have confirmed cases of measles. The health agency says more than half of the cases were in children aged 5 to 17. All 23 cases affected those who weren't vaccinated. 2 of the cases required hospitalization. Wisconsin residents can verify their vaccination status through the Wisconsin Immunization Registry or by contacting their health care provider or local health department. A newly released study finds flooding like that in southeast Wisconsin last month has been rising steadily in the state. The Wisconsin Policy Forum found Wisconsin has seen a dramatic increase in damage caused by flooding following heavy rains over the past 45 years. Researcher Tyler Burns says the state can expect to see floods to continue happening with at least the same frequency, if not more frequency, as the climate continues to warm and as we continue to urbanize. The study concludes that while local governments can expand infrastructure to handle increasing rainfall, fees that fund that construction would have to rise to cover the growing costs. Wisconsin Congressman Scott Fitzgerald says he approves sending federal agents to Chicago to curb crime, but not Milwaukee. Speaking on WISN's Up Front, the Oconomowoc Republican says Milwaukee has a better track record on violent crime than Chicago. Fitzgerald says there could be 10th Amendment issues with a military deployment to Milwaukee and that Congress would have to engage in oversight if that happens. Vice President J.D. Vance floated sending federal agents and troops to cities, including Milwaukee, during a stop in La Crosse last week. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development announces grants to help train skilled workers. The Wisconsin Fast Forward grants support innovative, local, and regional solutions to help employers meet workforce needs in their areas. DWD Secretary Amy Pacheshek says any business interested in increasing their pool of skilled workers should apply regardless of company size or industry sector. Funding will go towards reimbursing the cost of customized occupational training for unemployed, underemployed, and existing workers. Officials with Eli Lilly say they expect to bring 750 new jobs to Kenosha County, even though its agreement with Wisconsin only requires 560 to qualify for state tax credits. JS Online reports the company said the original lower number was a baseline estimate, but they're confident the higher job target will be met. The drug company signed a deal with the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation worth up to $100 million in incentives. Wisconsin is a longtime leader when it comes to workforce innovation, and right now there's an effort focused on artificial intelligence. Terry Barr has more.
Governor Tony Evers launched the country's first workforce-focused artificial intelligence, or AI, task force several years ago. The group is ready to help industries adapt while protecting workers. I talked with the state's Department of Workforce Development Secretary Amy Pahacek about it.
First state in the nation, the first task force as it relates to workforce and artificial intelligence. How to be proactive and how we are going to prepare our workforce for what is truly being deemed the fourth industrial revolution. Artificial intelligence is expected to impact virtually every occupation and every industry in the world.
Pahacek says Wisconsin's labor legacy is now guiding the response to AI while keeping its workers at the heart of this fast-moving technology.
Those flying commercially will notice new changes to TSA security, like being allowed to keep your shoes on. University of Illinois computer science professor Sheldon Jacobson says changes are made by assessing every layer of an airport security system.
Any one layer, if it's going to be changed, has to be evaluated with respect to the entire set of layers. And that's exactly what we're seeing with people allowed to keep their shoes on when they go through a full body screener or advanced imaging technology, and then the possibility of bringing larger liquids.
Airport security could be changing in the near future with updates and improvements in technology. Professor Jacobson says facial recognition could be a game changer.
Because it's not so much the items that people bring, but who they are. Are they, in fact, authenticated to be the person they claim to be? And are they valid to fly? Facial recognition brings all of this together and creates a much more secure air system in the future. People associate facial recognition with surveillance, but what the TSA is doing with facial recognition has nothing to do with surveillance. It has to do with authenticating their identity. The information is deleted very quickly after that's been done.
Jacobson says TSA has made security, like letting people keep their shoes on, have helped people move through airports faster without compromising safety. Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have fallen 6.8 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.98 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy's survey of over 3,000 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 4.1 cents per gallon higher than a month ago and stand 17.6 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.74 a gallon, while the most expensive was $3.59 a gallon, a difference of 85 cents per gallon. The national average price of gasoline has fallen 3.4 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $3.15 a gallon. The national average is up 1.6 cents per gallon from a month ago and stands 13.1 cents per gallon lower than a year ago, according to Gas Buddy data compiled from more than 11 million weekly price reports covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. The national average price of diesel has increased 1.4 cents compared to a week ago and stands at $3.66 per gallon. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said, quote, "With the unofficial end of summer now behind us, we saw the lowest national average price of gasoline on Labor Day since 2020, with prices lower than a year ago in all but three states. This caps off the most affordable summer at the pump since 2021, with motorists spending $11.3 billion less on gasoline compared to last year." He added, while summer may be in the rearview mirror, low gas prices aren't going anywhere anytime soon. In fact, so long as we avoid major hurricanes or other disruptions, we're on solid footing to see the national average dip to $2.99 per gallon this fall. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is calling on nicotine pouch manufacturers to use child-resistant packaging to protect American children from accidental harmful exposure. From April 1, 2022 to March 31, 2025, the number of reported nicotine pouch exposure cases reported to U.S. poison centers steadily increased. Approximately 72% of nicotine pouch exposure cases occurred in children under 5 years of age. Nicotine pouches contain concentrated nicotine that can be harmful or potentially fatal to young children, even in small amounts. Toxic effects in young children have been reported with nicotine doses as low as 1 to 4 milligrams. Symptoms of nicotine poisoning may include confusion, vomiting, and loss of consciousness. The FDA is also issuing information for consumers on how to properly store nicotine pouches and prevent accidental exposure to children. Parents and caregivers should safely store all nicotine products, including pouches, in secure locations away from children in original packaging and seek immediate medical attention if accidental ingestion occurs. If a person of any age eats a nicotine pouch, accidental or not, immediately call the Poison Control Help number at 1-800-222-1222. The City of Reedsburg ambulance crew traveled to the Ithaca School District last week to train staff in CPR, first aid, AED, stop the bleed, and other medical responses. According to Ithaca Schools, its staff are committed to the students and community in and out of the classroom. Becoming certified in CPR is a large part of that commitment. Currently, nearly all of Ithaca's staff, from bus drivers to custodians, are certified in basic life support. The Richland County Fair kicks off Wednesday. The day begins with photography judging at 8 and foods, food preservation, flowers, and houseplants judging at 9. It's also entry day for all livestock from 10 to 4. Steve Banker is a member of the Meat Animal Committee. He says the numbers look good this year.
Numbers are going to be good. We're going to be pretty similar to years past. You know, as far as our beef and our sheep and our swine and poultry and rabbits, we're right there. So that's going to be a good fair this year.
In fact, Jody Cornell, the adult leader for junior dairy breeders, says one area of the fair has seen an increase.
We're looking forward to the fair. I think our numbers are going to be up slightly. Still, our cow numbers are not going to be back where they were at prior to last year, but our numbers overall are going to be up. We got a couple more entries in the open show. So there'll be some more cattle there. And I think it's going to be really fun.
Swine must be penned Wednesday by 2. Dairy need to be in the barn by 5. A vet check will be held at 5. The 2025 Richland County Fair will continue through Sunday, September 7th, featuring many animal and non-animal exhibits, life-size balloon creations, food and refreshments. Admission to the fairgrounds is free. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds hunters that the 2025 bear hunting season opens Wednesday. With diligent scouting and preparation efforts, bear hunters should expect another year of quality bear hunting this fall. This year, over 32,000 people applied for one of the 13,110 bear licenses available. Nearly 114,000 more people opted to purchase a preference point to improve their chances of drawing a license in a future lottery. With over 146,000 people applying for a license or purchasing a preference point, this year represents a new record high for bear hunting applications. The 2025 bear season is open from September 3rd to October 7th, with specific regulations based on a hunter's bear management zone. Hunters must know the management zone in which they are licensed to hunt and the specific bear hunting regulations within that zone. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the Combined State Chamber and Manufacturers Association, is again partnering with Johnson Financial Group to host a statewide competition to find the coolest thing made in Wisconsin. The contest, celebrating its 10th year, draws attention to the state's top industry, manufacturing, and the Wisconsinites who are devoted to it. Last year alone, the manufacturing industry contributed over $73.7 billion to the state's GDP, generating an estimated $42.8 billion in earnings for manufacturing workers. Since the contest inception in 2016, over 1.5 million votes have been cast for over 1,000 products. Manufacturers from numerous subsectors and every corner of the state have competed for the title of Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin. Winning products have included iconic soda, high-tech beverage dispensers, fire trucks, cranes, motorcycles, military vehicles, robotic carts, rifles, and even Kringle. WMC and Johnson Financial Group are accepting nominations starting at madeinwis.com. Any product that is manufactured in Wisconsin qualifies for the contest, regardless of company size. Following the nomination period, which runs through September 12th, a popular vote will determine the top 16 products that will be placed in a bracket-style tournament called Manufacturing Madness. Products will compete against one another in head-to-head matchups, and the products that receive the highest votes in each matchup will advance to the next round. Manufacturers, consumers, employees, and other Wisconsinites are encouraged to vote once per day per email address through the rounds of voting. This year's Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin will be announced at WMC's Business Day in Madison event on October 23rd. For more information about the contest or to submit a nomination, visit madeinwis.com. Register for the 4th Annual Great Midwest Crane Fest, celebrating community and conservation in Baraboo, Saturday and Sunday, November 15th and 16th, as thousands of sandhill cranes gather near the Wisconsin River before flying south for the winter. Witness Wisconsin's largest crane congregation and participate in guided crane viewing tours, presentations, workshops, and more. Also explore the landscapes and rich histories connecting the festival host, the International Crane Foundation, and the Aldo Leopold Foundation. Festival registration includes entrance to the Aldo Leopold Foundation and International Crane Foundation, as well as events at each site, including presentations and tours of the Crane Discovery Center and the historic Leopold Shack. Additional registration is required for add-on events, including crane viewing tours and workshops. Register at greatmidwestcranefest.org/registration by September 15th and save $10. The Vernon County Development Department is accepting nominations for the 2025 Vernon County Awards, an annual celebration of the people, businesses, and organizations shaping the community's future while honoring its rich traditions. This year's theme, Legacy Builders, Honoring Tradition, Embracing the Future, reflects how Vernon County's strong history of leaders and bold entrepreneurs continues to shape the future and inspire growth, innovation, collaboration, and community values today. Nominations are open through September 19th at noon. Award categories include returning favorites such as business and event awards, as well as the opportunity to recognize young leaders, volunteers, professionals, and nonprofits that impact the community. A full list of award categories and nomination forms can be found online at vernoncounty.gov/departments/community_development/2025_awards.php. The 2025 Awards Banquet will be held Thursday, November 6th at Venue in the Valley in Coon Valley. Representative Tony Kurtz is seeking nominations for the 41st Assembly District's 2025 First Responder of the Year. Eligible first responders can either live in the 41st Assembly District or reside outside of the district and serve one of the communities in the 41st Assembly District. First responder is meant to include the broader category of responders that includes police and sheriff officers, firefighters, and EMS personnel. You can nominate a deserving person for a variety of reasons, including a specific heroic action, a significant professional achievement, something special they do for the community through their work, his or her body of work over time, and or his or her length of service. To have your local hero be eligible, return a nomination form no later than Friday, September 19th. A winner from within the Assembly District will then be selected, and he or she will be invited to a special recognition ceremony in the Assembly on October 14th. To receive a nomination form, please email rep.kurtz@legis.wi.gov. The registration for entries to the 2025 Canyon of Lights Parade as part of Center Color Fest is open. The parade will step off Saturday, October 4th at 7. The theme for the parade this year is Harvest Hoedown, and registration can be completed online at greaterrichlandtourism.com under Calendar of Events or richlandcenterwi.gov/tourism/page/canyon-lights-parade-registration-harvest-hoedown. Participants can also register their entry, whether it's a civic organization, business, classic car, truck, or tractor, by calling 608-630-2452.